Good morning. So good to see you all here this morning. It's wonderful to have you here. Have you ever had that experience where you read or hear maybe something that Jesus says, a parable, and you just can't figure out what he's trying to say? Right? Have you experienced that? Well, we have one of those this morning in the parable of the dishonest manager. So it's one of those that kind of makes you scratch your head. But the important thing when you come across this kind of a parable is to not get caught up in the details, but maybe look for the greater message. And so I invite you, as you listen to the gospel reading this morning that Becky will do for us, and as I try to kind of take it apart a little bit for you this morning in the sermon, that you listen for the bigger message here.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may come welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Holy God, as you have called us to serve you, guide us and make us worthy of your calling. Give us wisdom to use our talents and resources to your glory and the benefit of all you love and care for. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I hear or read one of Jesus' parables and I just scratch my head trying hard to understand it. The parable of the dishonest manager, which we heard this morning, is definitely one of them. Now, I know that parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, comparisons between things we know in our own life and the nature of the kingdom of God made through storytelling. And I know this was an attempt by Jesus to connect with the disciples and get an important idea across to them by using imagery that they would understand and respond to on a visceral level. But I have a hard time getting past the image that Jesus creates with this parable. It seems to praise dishonest behavior. Am I just being obtuse? I ask myself. Am I too dim-witted to understand the point that Jesus is trying to get across? Well, no, probably not. But some parables take a little more work than others. This is one of them. A rich man dismisses his manager for squandering his property. So the manager, in his final days at the job, calls in everyone who owes a debt to his master and slashes their bills. He figures that this way he'll still be welcome in their homes and may not end up destitute. One would rightly expect the master to be furious at what his manager has done, but no. The master commends the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. So how do we make sense of this? Biblical scholars and theologians have wrestled with this for some time, and there's not a lot of interpretive consensus. A good deal of scholarship out there is focused on trying to interpret the details of the parable in such a way that the dishonest actions of the manager are turned into good deeds. Some say that the debts to the rich man would have included interest. And since charging interest was forbidden under Jewish law, the manager was rightly removing that portion of the debts. Others say that the debts to the rich man would have included the manager's commission, and he was merely foregoing his own profits. But the truth is, we just don't know if any of these interpretations are accurate. And more importantly, perhaps they kind of miss the point. Perhaps we need to look at the bigger picture. Every time I read this parable and wrestle with it, I come back to the same takeaway message. And it's this: how we use what's given to us matters. I hear it in the parable itself, and I hear it in the wisdom sayings that Jesus gives the disciples after he relates the parable. We're to be faithful with what we're given, to use wisely what has been entrusted to us. And the first step in doing that is to realize that everything we have is not our own, but comes from God. Deep down, we know that, right? Every Sunday, as we present the offering, we say together, "All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee." We're only the stewards, the managers of what God has entrusted to us here on earth. Our job is to be faithful with what is God's, to use these gifts, manage them as God would have us do, and in light of our eternal relationship with God. As stewards, our job is to be proactively responsible and not squander, as Bishop Andy Doyle of the Diocese of Texas says. Now, we all know how to be good stewards, don't we? Think about a time when someone trusted you to take care of something for them. I remember when I got engaged and a member of my family sent me the family wedding veil to wear at my wedding. It had been my great-grandmother's, and it had been passed down to each of her female descendants to wear as they got married. It was a gift for me to wear, and I was entrusted with its care for the wedding and for the days, months, and years to follow until the next female descendant got engaged. I took good care of this beautiful veil and its aging lace on my wedding day, then carefully packed it up and stored it until a second cousin announced her engagement and I shipped it off to her. This is what being a good steward is all about. We know how to manage this kind of responsibility when we care for valuable, cherished things that don't belong to us. If we fail to properly care for them, we'll never be trusted with such cherished things again. And so perhaps here's where the heavenly meaning of this parable lies. If you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, Jesus says, following the parable, who will give you what is your own? If we've not been good stewards with what God has given us, faithful to the trust he has in us to care for what is his in this lifetime, then where will our eternal inheritance come from? How can we expect to realize the kingdom of God if we aren't proactively responsible with all that God loves and has given over to our care? Being faithful is to love what God loves and to care for what God cares about. If we live our life this way, then we will make the kingdom of God and our place in it a reality. Doug and I spent 2 hours on Friday morning on a street corner here in Green Valley. Millions of young people across the planet were holding a global climate strike, demanding real action in the face of climate change and climate justice for all. We joined a community climate rally here in support of what these young people were asking for. I saw some of you there also. To me, this was about being good stewards of what God has entrusted to us, about loving what God loves and caring for all that God cares about. God created the earth and all that lives on it, and it's not ours to squander. It's entrusted to us, and what we do with it, to it, and for it matters. As Bishop Doyle put it, the earth does not have feelings and will, in fact, regenerate itself if we wipe out civilization through human ineptitude. However, as Christians, we understand that God does care. God does have expectations of us. We are given as stewards of all creation and a tremendous number of relationships. What we do with them does matter. The truth of the matter is that our everyday actions have an impact on creation. From driving our cars and air conditioning our houses, to how we use water in the desert, to what we eat, what we buy, and what we throw away. We know how to be good stewards. So how do we put that knowledge to work as stewards of God's creation? How do we use creation? How do we be faithful with what belongs to God? We start by being aware that our actions have impacts on the earth, and from there, making choices in ways that are being proactively responsible. Doug and I spent 2 hours on the street corner on Friday, not because we like holding up signs in the sun and breathing in vehicle exhaust, but because we hoped that our witness might make people realize that our planet is in danger, that action needs to be taken now, and that each of our individual choices and actions matter. But we know that our stewardship can't end there. We're taking more and more actions to minimize our negative impacts on this earth. I drive a hybrid car. We're reducing our water use. When we have to travel by air, we purchase carbon offsets. We're trying to eat lower on the food chain to help save energy and water. And we've significantly reduced our purchase of plastic, especially plastic bottles, since plastic doesn't break down and therefore is becoming one of the greatest sources of pollution on the earth. We know there's much more that we can do, and we're continuing to find ways to adjust our lives to minimize our impact. We're committed as stewards to be faithful in our responsibility to care for all that God cares about. Loving one's neighbor is a holy imperative, not just to love those you know or those you know about. It's a requirement to love and care about people and communities you may never have heard of who will be displaced by sea level rise. It's a responsibility to understand that sometimes refugees are those fleeing the effects of climate change and to support policies aimed at preventing climate disasters. It's a command to care about species extinction and ecosystem health because all life created on Earth is our neighbor. We're part of a complex web of life, and our actions can affect all life around us. How we use what's given to us matters. All that's given to us in this life is given to us in trust, and what's asked of us is to be faithful trustees, to care for every one of God's precious creations as if they were our own, to take responsibility for them and our actions as stewards. We are placed on this earth to love and care for each other and to do so just as God would do. If we're faithful in this responsibility, we become co-creators with God of the kingdom, living according to the gifts God has entrusted us with. And our faithfulness in this life will become the foundation for the true riches we will know in the true life that awaits us in Christ. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. You have heard the word. Now the work begins. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.